Blog Talk Radio.
Calling in and listening, or we want to thank our callers and our listeners for calling in and listening to yet another show. This is Family Matters with Kenny and Kwajalein, and I am one of your hosts, Kwajalein, and here is my husband.
Hello.
And so we do, again, thank you all for joining us on tonight. Tonight we are going to be talking about another very important topic, something that's not only affecting our families, it's affecting our community and our world as a whole. We're talking about violence among our youth. Our kids are killing each other, and it must stop. The rate of gun violence, gang membership, and drugs happening within the population of our youth is becoming overwhelming. Every race, ethnicity, religion, and class is being affected. We are losing so many of our children, and sometimes the signs are right before us, but we have no idea they are there. Thank you for joining us on tonight, Friday, July the 21st, as we discuss this topic. If you're listening, if you are a parent, educator, caseworker, mentor, police officer, minister, just a concerned citizen, it doesn't matter. We do ask that if you have anything to say regarding this topic, that you please call us at 657-383-1571 to chime in on the conversation. We really want to talk about this. We want to stop this, you know, to do the best we can to prevent all of this violence and everything that is going on. And we do have a special guest host with us tonight. I'm going to go ahead and open up the line and introduce her. Faye, are you there?
I'm here.
And this is Faye Alexander, and she is a community activist in our city of Macon, Georgia, because we have just a high rate of crime there amongst our young people. And so she is one of the activists there that's trying to help stop the violence and asking for everyone to put down the guns. So, Faye, you're the only one that's on the line right now. So it's just, you know, me, you, and Kenny that's on the phone. I do hope that we have listeners out there. But, you know, even if it's just us right now, we can always go back and share the broadcast and listen to the show.
Okay.
So we're going to go ahead and just dig into this topic because our 60 minutes go kind of fast when we're talking about something that's interesting.
It does.
So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you and let you go ahead and start off and start educating, you know, us about this topic. Kenny and I, our oldest is 10 years old, and we do see, you know, that when he's in school that he is under a lot of pressure and we see changes in his behavior and things like that, you know, just the amount of pressure that he's under. And so we want to be aware of the things that are out there. We know, you know, some of the things that were out there when we were growing up, but, you know, it's a new time and age right now. So we're going to ask you to educate us on that. I do have one more caller, so I'm going to open the line up real quick for her. Hi, Mish, are you there?
Be quiet. Hello?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good, Pastor. How are you?
We're good.
What you laughing
good
at? What's so funny?
Are you talking to Gary?
Yes. Gary and Kito, they're debating about the freaking barber and wearing Nikes with Adidas, and you just keep it all one brand. It's just something that we do to her.
Yes, but we know how you all love shoes.
Yeah.
Well, tell them hello. Thank you for calling in tonight. We're talking about
our kids are
killing us. We're talking about violence amongst our youth. So Faye is our guest host tonight, and she's going to educate us on some things. And so your line will be open so that we can all take part in the conversation if you have anything to say.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Okay, Faye, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. First, giving honor to God, who's truly the head of my life. I'm actually National Director with Healing of Affliction with the Peacekeepers. And the Peacekeepers is an organization in 11 states and also in London, England, that go out into the neighborhoods to try to save women and children. And the founder of the Peacekeepers is Dr. Dennis Muhammad, and he always have had a slogan, 1 hour doing something is better than not doing nothing at all. Dr. Dennis Muhammad had heard my story of the death of my family members and my children, especially my three children. And he labeled me as this strong woman that has gotten over those deaths, that I can just walk and help others, because at the time I moved back to Macon because God sent me back here and told me it was great works for men to do, but I had no idea of the murders that was going on here. I had no idea that I had my work cut out for me. And in doing this walk, I learned that don't do it because you want that light to shine on you, or you try to get in the newspaper. And I know y'all hear what I'm saying. You got to do this because of where your heart at, you're passionate about it. Because if you have any other reason on doing it, it's just not going to work. And I thank God each and every day for my walk and the responsibilities that he have bestowed upon me. And what I do as the National Director of Healing of Affliction, I deal with the families that have lost loved ones due to any gun violence. And with that family is not easy, because when you lose someone because of gun violence, your life changed. Your life changed with that pain, that anger, and hurt. And it's so sad that we as people really don't even know how to console one another and say things that should be said to that family. I mean, we just pop everything out of our mouth to that family. And the sad part about it, you got our young people out here in the streets doing whatever they do. And I've always said that first trainer comes from home. And the way I see things out here in the street, everybody expecting you to raise their children, the school system, and other people. It's nothing like what it was with us, because when we was coming up, they always said take a village to raise a child, and that village was surrounded by family and friends. If that next door neighbor saw you doing anything, they'll beat your butt, and you know you got another butt whooping coming when that mama come home. And there's no way you would disrespect. But kids nowadays, they use all kind of profanity in front of an adult. I know when I was coming up, not that I needed to be cussing, but I'm sure, coming up, we all done did some stuff. But one thing about it, we never cursed in front of an adult because we knew better.
Right.
And I don't get these kids, because they just absolutely don't care. But I've learned with dealing with these young people, it's the love that they're missing. It's the attention that they're missing. And these kids need that. They need to know that they're worth something. I was in a meeting last night and heard of all the different programs that they have for the young people. But ain't nobody put it out there. No one put it out there. So we need to find, we're trying to find a better way to get this information out there to these young people so that they can take advantage of it. And then their jobs that can be filled and they can come off the street. And my other thing is this. We as people don't want to work together. Now, you got so many people, including pastors, and I had some pastors to tell us one day that we had no business out here in the street. He said it was their responsibility as a church to be saving the community. But we have failed the community as a church because we're now into fame, trying to see who's coming, who can get the most members in church. And I sat there and I listened and to what they were saying, and it was the truth. It was the truth. And a lot of them, not just pastors, but people as a whole, are afraid to get out in the streets because they don't want to deal with the gang members or the drug dealers because they are afraid. But God never gave us the spirit of fear. And he also told us we didn't have to fear man. And I know some people might say to themselves, well, God did give us common sense now. Yes, he did. But if you feel in your heart that you're doing what's right, God speaks to you and let you know what it is that you need to do or what you don't need to do. He will let you know. But we are the people, and all of us need to get out here in these streets and work these streets and talk to these young folks. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that we're going to stop every murder there is. I don't believe that can even happen. But I do believe we can slow them down. But a lot of us don't want to get out there because we don't want to stand next to a Jew. We don't want to stand next to a Korean. We don't want to stand next to a Muslim. We don't want to stand next to the Jehovah's Witness. We don't even want to stand next to you because you're black or you're white. And that stuff is crazy. Because if you cut each, every one of your blood is the same color. Do anybody have some questions for me?
So, Faith, I wanted to address, go back and address what you said. So do you think, so I know from what I gather what you're saying, that part of the way that we can help this is by as people getting involved, and that a lot of young people that are involved in these gangs and things like that, they're looking for attention and they're looking for love.
Exactly.
Right. And so we have a lack of mentorship and those type of things. And you also said that it starts in the home. So would you suggest that while, you know, we're getting involved and we're going out in the streets, you know, going among the youth, that we also have to target the families as a whole, you know, the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times in some situations, you know, not all situations, but in some situations, they are, you know, these kids are looking for attention. They are looking for love and that type of, and they're not getting those things from the parents. And as we've talked about, sometimes, you know, that is it has become a cycle.
Mm-hmm.
The parents were treated that way. The parents before them were treated that way. And so, you know, sometimes parents just don't know how to be parents. Would you agree with that? Do you see that?
I definitely agree with that. Because these parents are not having the kids so young, and and they're even grandparents at a young age. And in their mind, they're not through getting their little party on. They like to go and come and just do, I say, what my mama didn't do. But it's a different breed of parent. And I heard you say something earlier about your son with the peer pressure. I'm also dealing with the same thing. But I keep, and I have to believe, through the grace of God, as long as I keep teaching my granddaughters what is right and what is wrong, it will stick somewhere inside of them. I have to show them respect. I have to give them respect. And you remember, as I told you a while back, we were joking about, you know, I don't have a man in my life, but I'm also not going to bring Tom, Dick, and Harry into my home around my girl. I'm not going to make them feel it's okay to be with this man and that man. We got to respect our kids, and we're not doing that.
And so you think that is a part of the reason why we have such an increase now in the violence that's going on around. If you don't mind, could you tell us a little bit about just about Macon? What do you see? Because we have, although this isn't just about Macon, but there are a lot of communities that are like Macon. So when you go around Macon, you know, in the neighborhoods where the violence is more prominent among the youth, what do you see? What things do you see, you know, that
you know,
we as a community
First of all, in order, when you're in a community that's full of crime and you're not showing that you care about your community, then Mayor Rickard ain't going to care either.
Mm-hmm.
You got to show some love for your community. You got to be willing to take your community back. No one is going to tell me that five men on the corner where I live on my street going to be up there selling drugs. Because I'm not going to allow. But you got so many people that don't want to get involved or say this is not their business. And like I told you, a friend, you got to stop thinking like that. And until it happened to a member of your family, then that's when you want to act. That's the sad part. We got to show the love and concern for our community. But since we don't drop that love and caring for our communities, then you have the drug dealers and the gang members just come in and take over. And that's exactly what I've seen right here in Macon.
Right. Like I said, we have a lot of power. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How y'all doing? Can I say something?
Hey, Big Doe. That's my brother, everybody.
What's up, Doe?
I heard about your brother. How you doing?
All right. And I agree, man. You know, like the people in the community got to stop the "it ain't my business" thing. I mean, like you said, we got to show love for our own community. And I'm from Macon. And another thing that I want to say, us men, and I say us, but I'm including myself too, we got to stand up, you know what I'm saying, and teach the one that's coming up about being men, you know what I'm saying, like, because they thinking that being hard and being in a gang is being a man, and I'm from the street. I was a gangbanger because I was 14 years old, so, you know. And I talk to kids now, you know, and eventually I'm going to start that come into making, you know, now that I moved back to Georgia. And, you know, I mean, but, you know, talking to these young cats, man, just letting them know, because, you know, I look at the generation that's coming up now, and a lot of these mentors and parents are people from my generation. And I'm just going to be honest. A lot of people from my generation haven't woke up yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, and because I got cousins, and for instance, one of my cousins, two of her baby daddies then died from street gang, from violence, from street violence. How you explain that to two of your kids that both of their daddies gone? You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's like, you know, I got another cousin, he dead, he died. You know what I'm saying? And his son, little brother, 9, 10 years old, and he can run a gambling shack, but you know his mother go with somebody that I know. So he's basically teaching. You know, he didn't basically taught this little boy how to gamble. So you know he know how to run a gambling shack. I'm talking about to the T. Shoot dice, bet on the game. I mean. It's crazy because, you know, that's what they seeing coming up. So it's like the generation that I grew up in, I think they got lost somewhere to the point to where they ain't teaching the younger generation how to be men like people from older people used to teach us. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they used to, I mean, when we was coming up, it wasn't them for a lady in the supermarket to tell you, hey, man, pull your pants up. You know, and it was respect there. And for some kind of way, the respect got lost. And I blame the generation that I came up in. Because, you know, and then a lot of people from my generation are dead and gone. I got over 100 dead homies. Like, and that's crazy to say that. Almost 100 people that I done seen obituaries for. So, you know, I think they got lost somewhere, and the people of my generation gonna have to do better at putting back into the community and, you know, teaching these young kids, man. You know.
This right. Is Shannon. I have a comment. Can y'all hear me? Hey, okay. I didn't know if I was on or not. I completely agree. You know, we definitely have to pull together and make some effort in trying to, you know, get our communities back together. But I think because it is such a challenge for the ones, you know, for the people who actually see that there is an issue and actually, you know, care and want to see a change, I think it's our responsibility to, even if we have to, you know, scoop up one or two people, you know, teenagers, young adults, whatever the case, but just try with one or two. Because many times when you concentrate, you know, on a couple, you'd be surprised at what type of impact that you have on their lives. Because many times we try to look at the big picture. Because I know, like, for example, with me, I have a nonprofit organization for single moms. So I want to save all the women, whoever got issues and all this and that. And that's great. It's a wonderful vision. And one day I'll probably get there. However, what I do is, if it's one or two young ladies that I can give my undivided attention to and I can mentor and make sure I focus on them and try to make some type of change and say, okay, well, honey, you need to change that. Or maybe you need to, you know, try to do it this way. Well, okay, if you're dating him, you don't need to have him around your children or whatever the case. Because just like people told us back in the day, yeah, pull your pants up, do this, don't talk like that, don't curse in front of, you know, people or whatever. Nowadays, don't nobody say nothing. Everybody just, you know, just kind of just be on the wayside. Just walking away. Well, that ain't my child, or I don't want to get involved. But for us, where we see that there's an issue, we've identified the issue, we know what the problem is, and I personally think the main reason that we have so much dysfunction is because you don't have that many fathers in the home. You know, just like the guy, Quadrant's brother who was just speaking, his dude, his folks, his friends, a lot of them dead. So that's a good bit right there. They gone. So we have a lot of, you know, single-parent homes, and that does affect the whole structure of the black community, the black family. And I think that that's one of the main reasons why we just have so much chaos. But regardless of that, we see it's an issue. We know what the problem is. And we can talk about the problem, but we do have to begin to figure out some type of resolution. And for those of us who, you know, who know what we can do to make some type of change, even if it's a couple of folk, as long as we get a few, because then they may say, okay, to their friends or whomever, they can folk, okay, well, you need to change this, or maybe you need to, you know, watch what you're doing or whatever the case. So that's just my suggestion.
You know what?
I agree
with both of you and what you said. And, you know, my motto is, if I can just save one life, I've done my job. I've done my job. And that's so important to me. You know, and like you said, you know, we allow these kids to curse in front of us, and we don't say anything because that's not our child. But I'm going to tell you something. You curse in front of me, I'm going to say, hold it a minute. Don't do that. You're wrong, I've done it so many times. And all that child says is, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But what you sorry about? Do your mama know you was out here cursing? You don't disrespect adults like that. You don't do that. You know, this past Sunday I did a vigil for a young man. And the vigil, I mean, it was beautiful. But I smelled marijuana all in the atmosphere. And it wasn't for me to say nothing then. But the next day at that funeral when I spoke, before I said anything, I told them what I did not appreciate. I said, because you disrespected the men of God and you disrespected this family.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and if that's your thing and what you have to do, then there's a time and place to do it. I said, but Sunday was not the place for you all to do that. And you were dead wrong. Everybody just stood up and started clapping because that was wrong. You got to tell these people that you got to show them that you're not afraid of them.
That's right.
Because, see, all you're fighting against is the devil, and the devil ain't going to win with me.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to win with me. And then I was told that by the sister, they say I had to defend you. Because the stepmother said, I shouldn't have said that because the young man smoked reef. I ain't got nothing to do with what that young man do or what he did. He ain't doing it now. He wasn't doing it in that casket.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah.
And it wasn't him that I was talking to because he couldn't hear me.
That's right.
I mean, you ain't doing it wrong. I mean, honestly, you right on what you said. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, a lot of people don't say nothing. So it's, you know, well, it ain't got to the point now, and it ain't been for a while that they done let stuff like that slide for so long so they think it's the norm. You know what
exactly.
I'm saying? And I did the same thing. Like I say, I did the same thing, you know what I'm saying, at one point in the time of my life. So, you know, I don't do all that no more, but, you know, and if you talking about the same young man that I know, you know, he one of my friends too. So I can imagine what kind of atmosphere that was there. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I already know what I was going on. If we talking about the same person,
I'm sure we
are. And man, yeah, you caught me in, so I already know what you talking about. But like you say, if don't nobody say nothing, and a lot of people, man, a lot of people don't realize that if you say something, then more than likely they're going to respect you. For one, you know, you came out of here, you know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, you know, but if you don't know about to say nothing, then they gonna see it as a problem.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the thing we got to get back to, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got to say something. You know, like when I was in Texas, I had saw a young man. And a lot of people look at the way I walk and talk, and they think I'm a way that I'm not. So he approached me. He approached me sideways. You know what I'm saying? Because of what I had on. And so, you know, I told him. First, I put my hands out and shook his hand. You know what I'm saying? I shook his hand and I pulled him to me. I gave him a hug. I said, man, I'm going to tell you like this. I said, you know, first off, I don't play them type of games. You know what I'm saying? I said, man, what I used to, you know, had this, you know, what I used to do back in the day, you know, it ain't, I don't do that no more. Now, you looking at me and what I got on, and you want to come at me sideways, you know, and I'm like, you know, so I just told him, I said, man, check it, man. We both got somebody to go home to. And I told him, you know, man, we men, both of us black men, why are we going to fight over a color? And I just let him know, you know what I'm saying? Everything got good, ain't nothing below. And I talked to the young man, and before it was over, his whole demeanor changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his whole demeanor changed. But it was the way I went back at him that made everything change. Because he could have went a whole different way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But because I did what I did, it made his whole demeanor change. And then we got to talk about something other than that. We started talking about getting out of that lifestyle. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people just, you know, like you say, people got to say something. You can't be afraid to say nothing. You know what I'm saying? And that's what people don't understand. That a lot of times, if you don't speak up is when it can go another way. But if you do, and, you know, a lot of times you get that respect that you demand. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's absolutely
true.
I
wanted to add to that. This young man, I posted a picture of his little boy and the cousin. They both had lost their father and their first cousin. They were sitting there just holding each other's hands, supporting each other. And you're talking about, I think, a 3 and a 4 or 5-year-old child doing this. But I want to say this. There were a lot of good people there. And there were people that had the utmost respect for me. And that I appreciate. But I'm going to say something. We got to learn how to stop being judgmental as well to these young people. Because we never know what they got going on in their head, what kind of hurt that they're having on the inside. And I always say, you can look so beautiful on the outside, but you can be so full of hurt on the inside. And one of the young men, I was called by a pastor, and he said these words to me. He said, this family needs a church to have that funeral, and please tell them they can use my church. And I thought, wow, like that. So I asked the mother, I said, do y'all have a place to have the homegoing service? She said, we were going to do Bentley. I said, well, this pastor told me to tell you can have it right there in his church. Because to be honest, the things that I had heard about this young man, I could not see Bentley just holding all those people. But I also looked at it
that was a blessing from God. And then I had another young man to tell me, you know what, Miss Faye? Did nobody know that, know this, but that boy read his Bible every day. And I said, wow. See, we sin and we judge people. And I'm going to tell you, I say a lot of times there's going to be so many people in hell that you thought was supposed to be in heaven, and so many in heaven going straight to hell. And I do, I say that. I didn't know this young man. I had no clue who this young man was. But my heart went out to his mother, because out of all the texts and emails I had gotten, no one told me that was her last son that got killed to gun violence. Mm. So to me, that mother had lost all her children. And that's the part that touched me, because I know how she had to feel.
So we all tell you talking about the same person then.
I would like to make a few points. I want to go back and to say some things, and I hear what everyone is saying, and I do agree. We do need to, if we know that the issue is there, you know, that we do need to get involved to make a difference. However, we have to keep in mind some things, that although we feel like people should not be scared, you're always going to have someone that fears. Because, you know, though you said something to somebody, you a big dude. You know, everybody just ain't going to, you know what I'm saying, say something to you. Kenny and I, we not all that big, but, you know, we'll say something to kids. We will correct kids. However, there are a lot of people that will not do that because they really do fear. Because you have some kids these days, because we have all agreed on, you know, these kids these days are not like they used to be. So there is a chance, there's that small chance that instead of saying, okay, yes, ma'am, they might cuss you out or they might do whatever. And so some people don't know how to handle that. So some people are afraid. There's also, and I do want to let everybody know that your lines are open. Everybody, Keto, Pastor Michelle, everybody's lines open. You know, line is open if you have something to say. We also have to look. The Bible talks about us being one body with many parts. So we have to realize that we have to walk into the, that there's a passion that God has given each one of us.
Mm-hmm.
So just because someone else's, this may not be everyone's area, but if it's your area, then this is something that we definitely must step out in. Everyone's area may not saying that you can't correct a kid, that's not what I'm saying. However, there are some people like you, Faye, you're more involved in this because this is something that God has called you to do. Shannon, you know, you're with single women, single moms. That's something that God has called you to do, something that you can relate to, something you can understand, and God has called you into that area. And so we have to know our area, because when we step over into someone else's area, that's and try to do, like if I try to be Faye, I'm not going to succeed in trying to be Faye because I'm not Faye, you know. But again, I'll say something to some kids now. You know, it's such a big problem. We have a lot of kids in foster care. That's my thing. You know, we adopted one. I'm ready to adopt another. But everybody's not going to do that. But that in itself is also helping to save these kids and help them to get out of an environment, you know, that is like this environment that these kids are growing up in. So we have to find our area. Then, Faye, I wanted to go back to what you were saying way at the beginning of the show about the churches. We have come away from a lot of things in the churches. You know, we're not in the streets like we used to be. But part of that is because you have so many broken people in the church. So we have to get back to teaching the word of God. I'm not saying anything against anybody, not judging anybody. However, the word of God does judge for itself. And so it says that we know a tree by the fruit. And that is really the word. So what we need to do as a church, we have to teach the true word of God. Good deeds is not going to get us into heaven. That's not what it is. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of accepting Jesus. It's a matter of having a relationship with God. So when we are out teaching the word, these are the things that we truly need to teach. We have to focus on getting the foundation of the church stable, because if we don't, what's going to happen is we're going to bring all these broken people into the church, and we're just going to be in a bigger mess because everybody's broken, you know, and so it starts in so many areas. That's why everybody has a different area. Again, we need to start with the parents. We have to start with the church. We do have to have some people getting out in the community. We have to find what our area is, and we have to put it all out there. This show for Kenny and I, this was something that God ordained us to do. This is a part of our ministry. This is a part of obedience to God. And I don't care, like you said, Faye, if you save one life, if we help one person, mm-hmm. if we help mm-hmm. one, then it's helping. So it's not, you know, there are some things we may look at and discount because it may not be what we think is the thing, but we have to know that. We have to know that God has given different people different things to do.
Right.
And so this is one last thing, and then I'm going to open up the line for whoever else wants to talk. I'm going to tell you what I've seen in Macon and other places is that these kids, along with a lot of adults, do not have a vision. And that's a lot of the problem. We don't have a vision, and they don't have a vision. They don't understand their importance. They don't understand their value. They don't understand why they were created. They don't understand that they do not have to accept a poverty mentality. You do not have to accept this type of lifestyle. You do not have to feel like this is all you deserve. You do not have to feel like you're less than. And that's a lot of the problem, especially in our Black community. We are bound by fear. We are bound. We limit ourselves. We have been, you know, taught to limit ourselves. We are used to limiting ourselves, and we pass it down from generation to generation to generation. That is what we do. We don't take risk like we should, you know, and so we get comfortable in these places. Why? Because it's safe. It's safe. We don't have to step out into the unknown. And so, you know, the Bible says without a vision, the people will perish, and that is what we're seeing, that these kids do not have a vision. If we do take one or two kids up under our wings, and not even just one or two kids, but parents, grown folks, because it does start in the house, look, you are better than this. You do not have to allow yourself to be used and abused by a man. You do not have to just settle for anybody just because you want to be married. When we edify people while we are also teaching the right way, because there is a right and a wrong way. The Bible talks about, you know, there's a way that does seem right to a man. So there's a lot of people that's on this way that they think is right, but it's not the right way. So we have to get out there and we have to teach people the right way, and then we have to instill value into them. We have to instill self-esteem into them. We have to instill confidence into them, because that's what a lot of people lack, and this is why we see such a failure now in our community. They don't value their lives, and so they don't know how to value anyone else's, and that is a lot of our problem.
True indeed. And with the kids and the adults that are, you know, from our generation that grew up and they actually have kids of their own, they're broken, and with that brokenness comes bitterness, resentment, and hate. And with that bitter resentment and hate, when someone's coming to them with something true, most of the time it's being rejected because, as you all have said, you know, throughout the broadcast, is because they don't know any better. So they'll hate the truth, but then they'll accept, you know, those things that, you know, the latest rap artist is saying on the radio or on a video, and they feel like in order for me to get where he's at, I got to do what he or she has done. No, God has given us all our gifts. And the Word of God tells us that the gifts come without repentance. So with all our gifts, whether it's our gifts and talent in being, you know, singers, sewers, having a loving heart to be able to give, being able to get out and speak to people, you know, being a life coach or being a motivational speaker. Everybody has their own gifts and talents, but these gifts and talents should be complementing one another instead of beating down one another, trying to make yourself puff up and look good. You know, and as you said earlier in the beginning of the broadcast, Faye, is that you do it because you have a love and a passion for it. And that's what God has imparted in you. And Shannon, you know, with your gift for single moms, that's what God has imparted in you. But in saying that, I'm saying basically is that both of your ministries, they complement one another. Because there are single moms out there that are hurting, that have young teenage boys and teenage girls that are getting involved in promiscuous relationships and having babies at an early age, just as their parents did, you know. So it's a cycle of not knowing how to live feasibly in order to benefit your children. And granted, crime is on the rise and it's been there. But you know, since the early awakens, you know, until you know all of this ISIS and all of this stuff, people are thinking that this is where it began. This is how it all started. No, this started back in the early '80s, you know, late '90s, mm-hmm. when we had you know, gangster rap come onto the scene, and then as Doe mentioned earlier about the gangs, the gang violence is picking up because there are young broken men and broken women that are out there seeking for love, and they thinking that what this is that they're getting themselves into is a brotherhood, a sisterhood. It's a sense of belonging. It's a sense of loving. But how many of these young men and young women that have committed these crimes for these gangs, how many of them are locked up in jail and somebody that put money on their commissary? Probably none of their gang member friends. But yet these young kids think, this is how I can belong. We can get out there and teach these kids how to dress. We can teach them how to talk. Because I'm telling you, I mean, a lot of people think that, a lot of these young kids today think that in order for you to get somewhere, you got to have a few talents. And that's be a good basketball player, be a good football player, know how to sell dope, or know how to rap. Those are not the only doggone entrepreneurship, you know, venues out there that you can get to. You know, you got doctors, lawyers, football players, you have teachers, you have policemen, you have firemen. There's so many other things out there that we can start teaching these young people. And I must say, Faye and Shannon, I commend you all. Kwasna, I commend you for your motivational, you know, words that you give out on a weekly basis, on a daily basis when you can. But we really have to get back to the basics, and that's bringing that love out there, just as we all have been stating earlier in the broadcast. And I'm going to go ahead and, you know, pass the line on because I know someone else has something to say.
And I have one more thing to say, then y'all can have it. I'm sorry. Like you said, showing love, we can just do that when we're going out to the store. You know, it doesn't have to be an organization, under organization. It can just be, you know, when we go out, if we see somebody that's neat, when we go out to the store, when we're just around, I've started asking God to just show me, God, allow me to be a ministry. You know, allow me to be a ministry today. And then, you know, with social media, you know, we don't know who we're touching on social media. Faye, that's how I keep up with what you were doing. That's how I became so impressed with what you were doing, is I saw you on social media. I haven't met you in person yet, even though I feel like I have. You know, but it's like, it's so much out there. And so just on a daily basis, we can give that and give somebody hope, because people don't have hope today, y'all. People don't have hope. My cousin was a victim of this violence. Bernard, that my cousin was a victim of this senseless violence. He was not one of those kids that was in no gangs. He didn't get in trouble. That was not him. He wasn't type of kid, but because these other young fellas, you know, them being lost, not having hope, feeling like they don't have a future, they took his life away at 23 years old, a young man. Life is just ahead of him. He had his life ahead of him, no trouble, and his life was gone in front of his mom in the blink of an eye.
That's right.
Because of being senseless. Just senseless.
It was.
I'm finished, y'all. I'm sorry. I'm off my.
And I want to add to that.
Well,
No, I didn't know Bernard May, but God sent me to the family. And I'm going to tell you something. The day that I met Bernard May, I met him when I went to pick up their corsages, and they let me come back and see him. And I laid my hand on that young man. And I said, I finally meet the Bernard May, because everything that I had heard about that young man was nothing but something good. I never heard a bad word about him. Nothing but good. And then I got to know the family. Matter of fact, your cousin just had a beautiful housewarming a couple of weeks ago, and I was invited. And your sister did a portrait, had a portrait of her and another cousin of yours. And that portrait, and she took me back there to show me his room and that portrait. And when I tell you that was a beautiful thing, it was beautiful. But I tell people, Bernard blessed me from the grave. Something I had happened to me that I had never had happen to me. Do you know people was texting me, inboxing me to ask me what could they help me do for this young man's vigil? I had never had that happen in my life since I've been doing what I do. And yes, I'm going to tell you another someone. And I'm going to tell your brother something else. You know who else passed? Mm-hmm. And preachers and some of everybody started reaching out to me? Your friend, Jarrell.
Oh, yeah, Jarrell.
I never had that done those two times. I mean, I have people that be with me now that help, but just say, I help. And I know it's something about those two men that were special.
I definitely appreciate, you know, all that everyone's inputting in the conversation on tonight. And one thing that really never ceases to make my heart heavy is that it always seems that in the wake of violence is when people want to pull together. But then as soon as you know, it's like the smoke clears and everything goes right back sometimes. And it should never be that way. And Faye, I'm glad you out there. You are a forerunner out there in the streets of Macon, Georgia, because we know, you know, just being natives of Macon, just how Macon has become. And I can only speak on Macon for my listeners. Because I'm not bashing Macon, but I can only speak on this place because this is where I'm from. There are other places that, you know, I have been in the world, but I can only speak on where I'm from because I know and I grew up in those exact same streets that these young kids are running today. And I'm not by any far acting like I'm better than anyone because I'm not trying to. I ran those same streets. I grew up in East Macon. I grew up in Tender Heights. I grew up in a lot of rough areas in Macon, Georgia, you know, and I'm here to tell you, just as Doe mentioned earlier about running into the young man, approaching him about colors, these colors that our young people are out here dying and fighting over, you know, they were there before they were even born and thought about. So if we go in, and just as you said, though, when we go in and you go in with a different approach, a lot of times, just as the Bible says in Proverbs, that a soft answer turns away wrath. You turned away wrath, though, just by by your persona. You reaching out your hand and showing that young man that, hey, look, I respect you as a human being, and I'm demanding that exact same respect from you. But you did it in a way that was genuine, and it's probably a way that then changed that young man's life for the good. Mm-hmm. I can guarantee it. And when we get out there and we do that, right, it definitely does bring about a new light on things. Because young people today, they're out there and they feel lost and alone because no one's reaching out. But we had the opportunities to reach out. And the resources, Faye, that you were mentioning, you know, I remember growing up in Macon where, you know, 97.9 WIBB and all of the other stations in the local surrounding area were out there doing just as you are, but they were doing it through the radio waves. You know, a lot of this stuff like the Macon Consortium, you know, for the summer job, I guarantee you, you know, there's this cliche that the older people used to say that the idle mind is the devil's workshop. Well, if these kids ain't got nothing that's stimulating them positively, then they don't know. They don't know about the Pell Grant. Some of these kids have talents that you wouldn't believe. They can draw, they can sing, they probably can paint well, whatever. But if they don't know about the resources, then they're gonna be out there doing and running the streets, trying to get find somewhere where they fit in into the world.
You know, I was told last night because of where I'm moving. Oh, you finna leave and go to where the white people are. But you know what? I don't know if I'm going where the white people are, but I saw a few blacks on my street. And not only that, I haven't forgotten where I'm from. And they like to say my hood will always be my hood. And my people will always be my people. I will never change for no one. And I guess with me, I get a little emotional sometimes because I'm so thankful to God for where he had me and what he had me doing in others' lives, because it ain't about me. It ain't about me at all.
I just
give God the praise tonight. I just honor him, because without him, I cannot do what I do. And he continually blesses me with blessings I don't even know sometimes where they are even coming from. But I love what I do. Love making someone feel better. I love making someone understand and giving them knowledge. I love that. We even coming up with this thing called Women of Strength. It's just the mothers that have lost their children that are doing really good. I mean, don't get me wrong that they don't have hard times. Me, I have my moments. I can't sit here on this phone and say to none of you guys that I don't miss my children. I miss my children, my parents, my sister. I miss them. But I also know I got to continue to live and do what God had me to do. I know that.
Well, Faye, I tell you that I really, you know, and I think a lot of us admire your strength, because that's something. Lost all three of your children, and they were, well, all of them, they were older, right? All of them were adults. How old were your children?
One was just a few hours old, 21, getting ready to turn 21, and 26.
That's a lot. That's 21 years, 26 years. You know, I lost twins, and I had carried them for 6 months, and that was just devastating to me. I couldn't even, you know, imagine that pain. And you've endured, and you continue to endure. And you continue to give of yourself, because there's some people that have been in that place or are in that place, and they withdraw. You know, they go in this shell and they don't reach out to others. So I definitely admire your strength, and I commend you on what you're doing and for allowing God to use you as he is, and for everyone else on the phone. I commend you all for what you're doing. You know, again, allow God to just show you what he's placed on the inside of you, what, you know, I know our purpose. I started laughing because of some of our apostle here says, you know, but I know our purpose is here to worship God, but we're here to be instruments for him, and he's placed something unique on the inside of all of us. And so, again, you know, it's important that we allow him to show us what that is, and we move out in that and be used in that area or those, because it may not just be, you know, some of us got one talent, some got many. You know, that's just how it is. So I encourage everyone to do that, to know that everyone on this phone, everyone that's listening, we do have what it takes to change a life. We have what it takes to change lives. We do have what it takes to help change our communities. In whatever way, we have what it takes. And it does get discouraging sometimes when you don't get that feedback or you feel like you're not getting that feedback. But like God told me the other week, that what we're doing is because he's mandated us to do. In other words, we are to be obedient to him is what he told me. We're doing mm-hmm. this out of obedience to him and then to help families. But the first thing is out of obedience to him, because if we keep him at the head, if we keep him in the front, then everything else is going to work out. Mm-hmm. Everything else will, because he has his plan for us. And so I thank God for that. I'm just going to I do want to give these signs for anyone that may be listening. Doe, Faye, I asked you guys if I'm missing anything, you know, to add. If you want to elaborate, please add. But these are just warning signs for parents that could mean that your child could possibly be involved in a gang, so things to look out for. If your child admits to hanging out with other kids that are in or affiliated with gangs, if they begin to show an unusual interest in colors or logos, beyond that's just my favorite color. You know, but if they're constantly wearing red, constantly wearing blue, and that's all they wear, you know, or dislike, I'm not going to wear red, or I'm not going to wear blue, you know, those types of things. An unusual interest in gangster movies, gangster rap, etc. If you notice unusual hand signals, if you find them with weapons, if they begin to withdraw from family, start missing school, grades decline, become unusually defiant against authority, staying out late, become very secretive, getting involved in drug usage, and began to use gang-style slang. Now, I don't know an example of gang. Well, double C, okay.
Yeah, spelling their words with two C's, you know. Not saying no D words, you know. Just usual.
Okay.
I don't know if it's usual with y'all.
What'd you say?
No, I was just saying I don't know if it's normal to y'all, but you can pretty much tell. Oh, they start talking funny, still saying stuff you can't really understand. You know.
Yeah, I know I'm a little slow on some of this stuff, so I'm glad I got my brother and my husband.
you educated me tonight on a lot of it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, they spelling C-word, K-I-C-C, or, you know what I'm saying, or they spelling C-words with B's, you know what I'm saying? But most of the stuff you name pretty much wrong with it. I mean.
I have started the blog on Family Matters with Kenny and Quadra, and I posted one blog. So if anyone's interested in that or passing around, I ask you guys please to look at that. But we do have a resource. I do want to just give you a couple of resources. There's a National Gang Center, .gov, for anybody that's interested in that, and also the FBI. If you go to the FBI website, they have things, you know, that we can look at, and also the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC. There are things there that, you know, we can kind of look at to try to help, especially, you know, those of us that have, you know, well, those of us that have, you know, teenagers, younger kids, those type of things that can help us be aware of things that we may not, you know, may not know. Does anyone have anything to say? This has been a great show. I have really enjoyed it. I do ask that, you know, if you know anyone that will benefit from it, ask you guys to share the link, you know, for people to go back and listen. Share it, you know, and tell people about the show. We would truly appreciate that. Does anybody have anything else to say before we go ahead and close out tonight?
Yes, ma'am. I've been sitting here listening, and growing up where I grew up, you know, I was one of the few people that had both parents in my house. You know, but it also left me in a position where I was almost on the outside looking in. And when you look at these neighborhoods, you look at these kids, no matter what part of the country they're in, you know, like you guys, like a lot of you guys are from Macon. I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You know, like it's the same thing. There's one common denominator, one, and it is the drugs. The drugs is what started the problem back in the late 70s, whenever the big crack epidemic started.
Yeah,
and ever since then, the black household is pretty much going downhill. It has gone downhill. They have said they've taken fathers, they've taken fathers and gotten them addicted. They've taken fathers and sent them to jail for selling it. And that has fractured the homes. And it's pretty much been a ongoing cycle ever since. Now, the way to stop the problem is to get the drugs out of the neighborhoods. That's how you do it. It's easier. It's way harder than it is. It's way harder than the towns. But that is the common denominator in the problem with what's going on with our children and in our neighborhoods.
Amen. And how would you suggest, what suggestions would you all, everybody, I want, if everybody, what suggestions would you all have for us to help get the drugs out of our neighborhood? Does anyone have anything?
I got one, and that's stop being afraid. That's the thing. These drug dealers, they live on fear. They live on the fact that, oh, just because I got a gun, you know, everybody's going to be scared of me. Stop being afraid of them. It's up to the people who live in these neighborhoods to take their neighborhoods back. You know, like, you just somebody just can't swoop in there and do it for them. The people who live there have to take their neighborhoods back. Once the people stand up to these dope dealers, then they'll realize, hey, I'm not welcome here. And they will move on somewhere else.
Exactly.
Well, I know for me, you know, I've talked to a lot of, and I still talk to people my age that's in dope. Because I was a dope dealer for a couple of years. And honestly, the money I thought I had wasn't really no money. You know what I'm saying? So I tell people all the time that you ain't going to really get no wealth selling no dope. There's only a few big dope dealers that really made it big time. And you can put that in, and that goes back to, you know, Nick Barnes, people like that who actually made it. I mean, but you look at it now, I mean, and I tell people all the time, you really ain't making no sense. And the chances of you the money, honestly, the only thing you want to do is either in the bed or locked up. I mean, that's just the reality of it all. Because even the ones that made it at the end, they end up locked up. All of them. You can't name one that actually made it that ain't did the fair time. That ain't in the fair. You know what I'm saying? I don't care if you go back to Jerry Anderson, get back to, I mean, you numerous of those brothers you can name out there that at the end of the day, even if they did make it, they still end up doing fine. So, I talk to people all the time, especially people my age that still out there doing, because I know, you know, I know people that still doing stuff, man. So I talk to them all the time. And honestly, I didn't really live until I left and find, you know, and you know, I didn't really live until I left and started doing something different. You know what I'm saying? And got a job and, you know, got 401k plan. Like, I didn't really live until I did that. I mean, like, we had one of the boom in the traps in Macon. And you know what I'm saying? And just looking back at it, what did we get out of it? My cousin did. That's what I got out of it. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, when you look at it, and like I say, for me, you know, that's how I try to, you know, I try to talk to people. You know, like I say, I don't know what Faye doing, and I would like to meet you, but I kind of got this thing where, you know, I had been wanting to do something to talk to people and let them know where life leads. You know what I'm saying? Because it don't really lead nowhere. And like I said, I talk to a lot of people my age. Some of them hit, some of them don't. Well, most of them don't. You know what I'm saying? But they, you know, eventually they'll see, you know. But, you know, and I think that's how you're going to really, I think that's how you're going to really get it out of there. Because they're going to have to wake up and see. Because honestly, how many people we know that have been selling crack since the 90s, still selling crack or selling weed or whatever today, are still making the same amount of money that they were making 20 years ago?
Right, the same amount of nothing to them is a lot of money. Go home, they look the same way. They look well worse. They look toe down, like they just, like I said, they have no vision, and they're in a place of comfort.
I tell one of my closest friends all the time, we sold dope together. You know, we was out there together, and I tell them every time I get a chance, like you still. Matter of fact, you done went backwards to when we was out there. Like, you making the same money we were making 15, 20 years ago. So it's time for you to switch up. Do you know if you would have put them same 20 years in a job, you would have a retirement saved up? You have a 401k saved up?
That's
you
right.
know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just how I do it. Like, I try to talk to people because, like I say, I still communicate with a lot of my friends, even though we don't hang out or none of that, but I communicate with them, you know what I'm saying? And I try to spread positivity to them because I try to use my life and my testimony to help them, you know what I'm saying? So,
what I wanted to say to you, you know, that's the key. You don't have to hang out with a person 24/7, but always communicate with that person and stay in touch with that. You know, I mean, stay in touch with that person. I like what you said. I love what you said because that's really important. And, you know, I want to say to all of you, and I'm not saying you're doing this, so please don't misunderstand me, but this is what I want to say. Stop looking at one's sexuality. Stop looking at one's color. Stop looking at one's religion, whether you don't like him or her or not. Okay, put those differences aside just for a little while. When you all got the same goal in common, and that's to save a life, focus on that.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right. See, people as people, because that's what we are.
Mm-hmm.
And we all are born, and we all will die, unless we hear when Jesus come back.
Mm-hmm.
It don't matter our economic status. It don't matter our race. All of that doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. And we have to push and teach respect for each other, because that's part of the problem. And we do have these drug dealers in our neighborhood, like Keto was saying, and just talking about the breakdown of the black family. We sell to each other, black selling to blacks, trying to come up, you know, or whatever. And it's like we have to have a respect for each other, period. We just have to learn to have a respect for each other. Drugs kill, they destroy families, they destroy lives. And part of it is people are not thinking about that. They don't see that. They're not thinking that big. And so when we have, you know, people like all of us that can go out, though you've been out there, you probably could get over to them faster than I can because they know that you understand the struggle. Hey, I have a new mindset now. I wasn't seeing that then, but I see that now. And so that's definitely what we have to do. We do. We have to see people as people. Me, say, I see people as souls. That's right now. I don't want to see nobody perish. That's just not what I want.
Me neither.
I'm the souls. Whoever don't like me, don't like me. But that's what I look at, souls. Because when we stand before God on Judgment Day, it's our soul that is going to be sent to heaven or to hell. That's just, it don't matter. It don't matter. It don't matter the color, none of that. It's going to be our soul. That's what's.
And I also want to say to your brother, he can, you know, he can get in touch with me, you know, through you, you know, whenever he comes to Jamaica. I'd be more than willing to sit down with him and work with him and do whatever, you know, he want to do right here. I love new ideas. I love that because I don't have the answers, not all the answers. I don't have them. And I invite help. I do. I invite help. I wanted him to know that.
Okay.
Right.
So, okay. So I guess I can look you up on social media or something.
I'll send you out.
I'll
do it. I'll send you out a friend request. Mm-hmm. And a friend suggestion. I'll do that. So, babe, before we end, can you again give us your organization again?
The organization itself is called the Peacekeepers, but we have moved to another part which deals with the families that have lost loved ones due to senseless violence, which is called the Healing of Affliction.
Okay. Peacekeepers and faiths involved in the healing of affliction. Okay. Well, I do appreciate everyone for coming on tonight. I appreciate all of, you know, everyone for participating, all of your feedback, and we definitely can get our families back. We know we can't save everyone. Like, Faye, like you said, we can't, just because some people are going to reject it. That's part of it. That's part of what we deal with. So even when we go out, we have to be prepared for rejection. But everybody is not going to reject. Everybody's not going to. So, you know, our families are broken. We have brokenness in all of our families. We definitely have it in the Black community. So, you know, let's tap into whatever God has put on the inside of us and let's make a difference. Let's do it. Continue to make a difference. Put it that way. And Keto, thank you for coming on. It's always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you for what you do. You serve our country. That's all a part of it. So thank you for, you know, what you do. You dare, you raise your children. Thank all of you. Faye, you raise your grandchildren. Doe, your children, because that's part of helping the process. When we are raising our children upright, that's part of helping the process. That's part of it. And so
thank you
guys for everything that you do. Baby, did you have anything?
I'm good.
I'm good.
I'm just grateful to God for everybody joining on tonight.
Great show. It was a great show. You guys have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy your 4th of July, and don't y'all eat too much now.
Guys, enjoy as well and be safe.
All right. Talk to y'all later. Love you guys.
All right.